each and every one of you. And if you've got something that you really think be the answer to this, I want you to speak out. What do you think would help this church to be just a better church, a better witness? What do you think it would be? Anybody got any ideas? All right, I'm going to read some scripture. And, you know, to have unity and really true brotherly love and fellowship in a church, you need to do as you. And it was taken from scripture, what we refer to as the golden rule, do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. And I'm afraid a lot of times Christians don't even do that because we've got other things on our mind or we're just not really thinking about what we're doing the way that it is affecting somebody else or what it might be doing and not stopping to think, well, would I like this same thing done to me? And I want each and every one of you, if you read with us, we're going to start in Proverbs, the 11th chapter and the 13th verse. And if you got a piece of paper or something, write these down so you can go back and look over them and read them and really contemplate what they're saying. But that 11th chapter and the 13th verse, a talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. So in other words, there a talebearer is going to tell everything that they know, but a person that's, you know, really a true Christian, they're going to just hold that. Because a lot of times we can tell something that we hear or something we think, and it might not, as Daryl has said, preaching, if we repeat something that somebody tells us, if we don't know it to be the absolute truth, we could be just telling a lie ourselves because we're repeating something that wasn't true. So I want y'all to think about these scriptures. Then in the 18th chapter of Proverbs, we'll start with the 6th verse. A fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calleth for strokes. A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. Now, some of this, I mean, you know, you need to really think about each and every one of us. Have I been guilty of any of that? Then if we'll turn over into the 26th chapter, here in Proverbs again, starting with the 20th verse. Where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceases. As coals are to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man or woman to kindle strife. The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. Now, I want to read you the definition of a talebearer. And listen to this. A person who gossips or tells secrets, scandal. You know, I'm afraid a lot of times we don't realize, you know, just what we're saying or how much damage we can do. You know, if somebody tells you something in confidence, that's exactly where it ought to stay. But, you know, too many times I'm afraid we're just sort of like the people there that Paul was talking about they just live to tell something or to hear something. And, you know, we should have more to our life than just waiting to tell something or to hear something on somebody. All right, now, if you'll go over into Romans, the very first chapter, and listen to these verses. Now, this is where he'd been talking about homosexuality and how God hates it. And then here he said, the 28th verse, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers. Now, that what I was wanting to get to is that last word. Now, if you'll go down, you'll reading all of this, you'll find out that when it gets down to the bottom, God says, you know, if you just, in other words, tolerate and, well, let's just read it. Who knoweth the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. So when we read that, we realize that God hates all of these things. And what we read to you there, it said God gave them over to a reprobate mind. A reprobate, to disapprove, reject, condemn, depraved, vicious, unprincipled, and rejected by God. Now, you and I, that included every bit of this, and it also included those that are whisperers. Then if you'll turn over into 2 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, and reading the 5th verse. Examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobate. Now, also, I meant to read that when I was over there in that 29th verse, a whisperer. One who tells secrets or who slanders secretly, a gossip or tattler. Now, all of this, it's God's Word, and it goes from the Old Testament right into the New Testament. And we don't realize just how much damage we can do with our tongue in such a short time. Another place in the Bible, it talked about our tongue being an unruly member and full of deadly poison. And today, I'm afraid that's one of the worst things that's going in America and in a lot of churches today. If people are just living to tell something, living to hear something on someone, living to be able to tell something that would offend or maybe make somebody else not looking good as we think we are ourselves. And each and every one of us, we need to stop and say, what are we doing with it? The Bible tells us if we can't say something good about somebody, then we ought to be quiet. Well, that's a good comment for each and every one of us. If you can't lift somebody up, if what you're saying is not going to be a benefit to pick somebody up, what is the purpose of saying it? It must be we want to destroy and to tear down. You and I today, we can't make ourselves look better by tearing somebody else down. We can reveal plainly to all who listen just exactly who we are and what kind of a person we are. And you know, it makes no difference, even if you find by doing it favor in the eyes of people, in the eyes of God, you're reprobate. Why? Because of the very intent, the very actions, the damage that you're doing. You and I today, coming back there again, One that's disproved, rejected, condemned, depraved, vicious, unprincipled. That's a reprobate. You and I today, we need to have, you know, that was one of the things Dad, Mom was so strict at teaching us kids when we were growing up. You've got to have principles that you're not willing to compromise. You've got to have something that people look at and they can see that you're a worthy person. You know, that was one of the things when I began my first to buy a car, whatever. Dad signed my note and he told me, if you ever let me down, don't ask me to sign again. And I paid it off. He never had to worry about anything. The next time I went back to the bank, all the bankers said, now whose son are you? And when I said, Riley Hensley, he said, oh, okay, you're one of those that we can trust. Why did that brother that they didn't care about their welfare? Oh, how the people looked at them. They didn't care what anybody thought. But Dad had a reputation that his word meant something. When he said something, that people could count on it. You and I today, that's what we need to strive for, is to have a testimony to where people knows that we're trustworthy, we're truthful, and what we say can be backed up. You know, my grandfather, I remember when I was just a teenager, I was talking to him about finances and stuff like that. And he said, I bought this 160 acres here. Agreement me and the man made and shook hands on. Said there wasn't nothing put down on paper. And he said, I paid it off just the way that we agreed with the handshake. He said, today you can have a stack of papers a foot deep with people's signature on every page, and it doesn't mean they'll abide by it. That's where America has come today. We've come to the place where you can't depend upon the word of people. So you and I, if we're Christian, people are to look at us and know we treasure not only ourselves, but the reputation of our friends, those that we know, those that we care about. And you and I, if we don't, then it's going to show, and what's going to happen, we're going to lower and degrade our own self. It's just like my granddad used to say, throw a rock at a pack of dogs. The one that hollers is the one that gets hit. Well, you and I today, when you're throwing stone, there's an old saying, those that live in glass houses shouldn't throw stone. If we're throwing stone, we're going to find out sooner or later it's going to come back and get us. Why? Because we're not innocent, and God's going to make us pay the price sooner or later. We can't win but turn somebody else down or by trying to climb over somebody, but something that we say that could hurt them. In just what we've read here to you, God does not like a talebearer, and it's people goes around whispering and telling secrets. You know, there's things that has been told to people that's left this church, no longer come here, but yet they know everything that goes on, even to private conversations that was not even heard by anybody, or wasn't, I guess you'd say, standing next to them when the conversation was given, and it was things in joke and stuff like that that was reported as being, I guess, truthful. You and I today, what is the purpose? I've preached here before about not caring and talking to people that don't attend this church. You're not lifting this church up. You're not doing one thing that's going to be helping the workings of God. You're not doing anything to reach that person that's left. to give them a desire to ever come back. Why? Because they're just wanting to know what's going on. And you and I today, when we go and tell and reveal things that were said, secrets, whatever, you know, if that person really wants to know, let them come and be part of the crowd. Let them come and sit here and listen. But if they don't want to, you know, my daughter, she got upset because a young Christian cared enough to request prayer for her and her girls, and it seemed to have offended her. And she could only see the damage that she'd done her own self to her reputation is the very reason that young person would request prayer. And you know, I thank God that they care enough. I thank God that they've got a heart that's tender enough that they'll pray for other people. You and I, we need to lift up the young people of this church, live a life in front of them that guides them in everything that we do, in our communication with one another, in each and everything that we face here in this life. You know, we're going to face all kinds of troubles before we leave this world. And, you know, how we handle them is going to say far more than anything else that can be said about what we're facing. You know, it's so easy when somebody says something to strike back. My dad, that was one of the things. Dad was accused of about everything that you could think of. And it irritated me as a kid. Why didn't he say something? Why didn't he defend himself? Why didn't he stand up and fight back? Dad's answer was, if you're not guilty, you need no defense. And if you are guilty, you have no defense. He said, only those that's looking to destroy you is going to believe a lie that the devil puts out. And those that love you are going to know that it's not the truth. He said, so the more you talk about it, the worse you make it. It takes a person with a strong constitution to be able to take it in. But, you know, the Bible speaks about drinking deadly poison. That's what it's talking about. That wicked tongue. That tongue is full of deadly poison. Somebody says something about you. If it's not true, don't worry about it. There's another saying of Dad's. A lie really won't hurt you. It's the bad truth that really hurts. You and I today. You know, people can tell all kinds of things about us, but those that know us are those that's going to be around for a while. They're going to see and find out that it's not true. So, you know, there's no sense in making a great big to-do about things. But each and every one of us, we should be concerned not only about the reputation of our brothers and sisters, but our own reputation. Does somebody look at you like Daryl's preached so many times? A liar can tell the truth, but a truthful person can't tell a lie. And just because you're truthful 75% of the time, you're still a liar. So you need to think of that. Because what does the Bible say? Where all liars are going to hell. So if you've said anything that's not true, or you're just a gossip carrying tales, tattling, and passing on things, For what benefit? Is it that you got to have something to talk about? Or is it because you're trying to make yourself look good in somebody else's eyes? It isn't going to work. You know, I forget. Now, this is in Proverbs somewhere or another, but it talks about, you know, if people want to know whether you're smart or not, it ain't worded this way. Just listen to you, because you will reveal your own self, who you are and what you are, because you talk so much. Those that don't talk much, you know, people just wonder, how smart are they? They never say nothing. Well, a lot of times it's a lot smarter to be quiet than it is to talk. And each and every one of us, please, I beg you, study these scriptures. Look up the definitions, if you don't believe me, on reprobate and whisperer and talebearer. And just see what kind of a position we put ourselves in with God. It's bad enough that we hurt ourselves with our brothers and sisters, but with God, you know, sometimes it can get to where it's hard to get forgiveness. And then after you pray through and get God to forgive you, then you've got to go back to that brother or sister and ask them to forgive you. And, you know, that's something I'm finding. It's harder and harder for people to do this day and time, is to ask somebody to forgive them when they was actually in their wrong because of pride. It's just so hard to ask for forgiveness. And if we would only bridle our tongue, it's that unruly member, bridle our tongue, we could save ourselves a lot of heartache and a lot of other people. And, you know, I have seen churches tore apart over almost nothing because of people just talking, spreading gossip. And you and I today, when we do that, there's blood on our hands, because look at the souls that's infected by it. You know, there's people that used to attend this church that's left, and things that they are saying or things that's been said to them makes it far harder for them to ever come back and make it right. Far harder. And though I love them and I pray for them every day, I cannot ask for forgiveness for them. I can't do anything to change, but I do not want to make them think that they have my approval for what they've done in any way, shape, form, or fashion, because it's contrary to the Bible. And, you know, each one of us, we can have family that we care about, that we lay awake at night praying about, that we love. But I can't sell God out to make peace with them. I got to stand on what the Bible says. And you and I today, God requires each and every one of us to be consistent in our stand and what we say. You know, I had an aunt that Stan Ned took all her life, and we was at a family gathering, as in granddad and grandmom's front yard, and it was plumb full because the house wouldn't hold them all. And there's a discussion going on, and my aunt said, "Well, I'm not going to say anything about that because it may end up in my family." And it did. Both her sons become guilty of being in adultery. She had stood against it. Her husband had preached against it until it come their family. Then they wouldn't say nothing. Sin is sin. I don't care if it's your family, who it is. If we don't stand on it, God said, I'm going to require you, their blood at your hands. You and I, God, do you realize a Christian life is not something we live alone? It's something that we live to be a light and an example. Look at what Paul went through because he wanted to teach people a Christian life cost you something. He lost so many friends. Look at Christ. Because he stood and told them the truth. They said, that's a hard saying. And they went away and they wouldn't walk with him no more. You and I today, if we live a Christian life, we're going to lose a lot of people we thought was our friends. But if you take your stand on the Bible and anybody don't want anything to do with you, you didn't lose a friend anyhow. And besides, if we don't have Christ as our friend, we could have the whole world as our friend and we're still a loser. So we need to pay attention. Why don't we sing just one verse of a song? I want to give people a chance to pray before we turn it over to Daryl for second service. But I ask each and every one of you, please, pay attention to these scriptures. Are you guilty? If you are, it takes repentance. I don't care who we are. It takes repentance. And, you know, as I was coming to church, I was listening to Gospel Greats, and a man on there was talking about a song that he was going to sing and how it had been wrote. And he said, so many people, they go to the altar and they pray, but they get right up and they take what they should have left there at the altar right back to their pew with them. You and I, if we've done something wrong and we come and we repent, leave it there. Let the Lord take care of that. You ask Him to forgive you, leave it there. Get up and walk away clean if you got faith to believe that God will forgive you. And then if He has, then He'll show you where you need to make right the things that you've done wrong. Go ahead, Braden. You know, a lot of people, they get a long ways from God, but it takes that first step away from Him. And the sooner we can turn around, the easier it is. Any word on anyone's heart before we...